Hey, welcome to another episode of the Coffee Break Podcast, where our mission is to share business ideas, practices, and strategies while we enjoy our cup of coffee. Today's guest is Natalie and Joseph from True 180. And stick around through the conversation, because hopefully you'll pick up on it sooner than I did of exactly why their name is the way that it is. But a great conversation about really turning something in and changing from a practitioner to a business operator, partnership, and getting the right people in the right places in your organization to grow. A lot of practical application here. So hopefully you'll get ready and take some notes. I've got notes as well. Some great takeaways from today's conversation. So grab your cup of coffee and get ready.
We got so much to say. We got a podcast to make. We're sipping on lattes. And it's time for a coffee break. It's time for a coffee break.
All right, Natalie,
yes.
Joseph, welcome, welcome.
Thank you.
You guys excited for Rapid Fire?
Yes.
Very much.
All right, you've done all your studying, your homework and everything?
Mm-hmm. 100%. Went to school for a lot of years.
All right, so let's jump into it. We were just talking about what we had for breakfast and dinner, which was exciting, but let's the number one question, what is the weirdest food that you've ever eaten?
Cricket taco.
A cricket taco? On a dare or like...
Well, no, I ordered on purpose. Oh. And I was like, hey.
Aleo?
Yeah.
I'll say that's the same, yeah.
It was Oyamel in D.C.
Okay.
That's
what
like
you had, cricket taco?
Yeah, I tried it as well, and I can't think of anything more weird
awesome.
Or random.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was, because they got the legs off. I think that's really the big thing, right? Just the meat.
Tastes like chicken. All right, number two, what is the most out-of-character thing that you've ever done?
Out-of-character thing? I paid attention to my wife's feelings and apologized for hurting them yesterday.
Oh, this is going to get into therapy here. I'm just out of the gate. It's very eye-opening.
Maybe it became his partner instead of him becoming my partner.
Oh, all right. Man, I didn't know we were signing up for marriage counseling today, but we'll jump into it. All right, number three, what is your cell phone wallpaper?
I call them the little people.
Okay.
The little people.
Okay. So it's the kids, pictures of the kids.
Picture of the kids, kind of strangling me, but I mean, it looks cute, right?
Okay, very cool.
Mine's just that, the regular old like beach scene that came with the phone.
Really?
Yeah, I've never changed it.
Never changed it. That's got to be something about personality there. We probably have to dive into that. Okay, number four, if you could have an unlimited supply of one thing for the rest of your life, what would it be?
Time.
Cupcakes. Cupcakes and time. I like it.
Then you could eat all the cupcakes, right? Put them together.
All right. And last question, number five. What is your best scar story? Something that's impacted you.
I'll say, so the most recent, is this going to sound like anti-vax? But
yeah.
So when I went to get my second shot, so I would not recommend going to the drive-thru, because variability in staff training. So they are supposed to palpate. They didn't check for anywhere. So they went all the way behind the head of the humerus, like back where the major blood vessels and the nerves are. My arm like filled up with blood. My armpit was convex.
Yeah.
I had one breast. That has so much blood. This Saturday is the first time I was able to pat myself on the back with my left arm.
Oh, wow.
In 4 weeks.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Like, meaning to do this.
Oh, this is okay. See, that's impressive. Okay.
Yeah.
That's exciting.
All right. Biggest scar would be first C-section scar. Went in to give birth. Was not expecting that there could be a C-section.
Ah.
So most traumatic, life-changing.
Understand that. All right. Well, very cool. Well, guys, you passed five questions. Congratulations.
Nice.
We'll give you a score of 612.
Okay. Outstanding. And it wasn't a reaction to the vaccine. That was that lady not...
just not doing it the right way.
If it had been an empty syringe, she would have done the same damage.
Definitely exciting. All right. Well, let's jump into it. Tell us, kind of high level, what is your business?
We are a women's only personal training studio.
Women's only personal training studio.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
And why is that a unique offering?
Well, just depending on where you're going to go work out, there's not really space dedicated to women, right?
Okay.
Like, I mean, I remember growing up being 16, going to the Y, and there was that little tiny scary room that was like where all the weights were, and not knowing what to do. My parents were awesome. They got me a trainer when I was 16 to make sure I knew what to do, how to do it, and just to be healthy. And then growing up, I stayed healthy, active, and just did a lot of things, different kinds of workouts. And then met Joseph, and then we had a larger co-ed gym in Washington, D.C.
Okay.
And he had been doing personal training since he was 17. And
I'm only 29 now.
Yeah. And so I really enjoyed the co-ed part, right? So when we moved down here, we found a space that used to be women's only, and I was against it. I was like, no, it's going to limit our market. Let's not do this. Like, I was not on board for a long time about the women's only. And then eventually I'm like, okay, let's do it. We're opening a new business here. Let's see. And it's been awesome. It's been such a great place for women who don't normally work out or who used to work out and just want to work out where there's not a lot of, like, gross, old, sweaty men hanging around, or young, nasty, you know.
It's
like,
more the young guys.
Like guys looking when they're not supposed to. And I mean, just it's a nice, comfortable place to work out. And people ask me all the time, like, why are your coaches male? I'm like, well, because they're the best at what they do. And you're not going to go to a doctor. Well, sometimes you'll go to a doctor based on gender, but 99 out of 100, you're going to the best doctor. So I've got the best guys on my team. We have one other team member named Gregory Clifton, who's our head coach.
All right. So you've gotten into the women's only training space. You've kind of crafted a comfortable, safe environment that they can come in and kind of – it's more than just a place to work out, though, right?
Right.
It's kind of a community environment where you're offering a lot of other value.
The community aspect is huge. And we took that from what we used to do in D.C. We used to have – large hangouts, parties, do coffee on early Friday mornings, like the 5 a.m. crew. It was awesome. So we used to do some of that here. We'd had anniversary parties, we have potluck parties, wine tasting, cookie decorating, like you name it, just like hang out. Then COVID hit and we haven't had a chance to do any of that. But we are prepared for our anniversary party in October with a brand new smoker. We're really excited to be able to do that soon.
All right. I want to jump back because before we started recording, we started talking about how you kind of got into this.
Yeah.
And you were explaining that when you've been doing this since you were 17, but the business side of it, like you enjoy the personal training side of it, but the business side, the organization side was maybe not your strongest suit. Is that a good summary?
That is a pretty good summary. So, and I got interested in like fitness and health and nutrition because growing up, well, one, because of bullies, and then two, because of being the fat kid and getting made fun of for that. And then being like randomly hired by somebody at 17, they were like, hey, you want to be a personal trainer? What is that?
Yeah.
But he said, what it is? I was like, sure, I'll do that.
Yeah.
I got into it as the practitioner, and I'm not very good at the other stuff at all. In terms of like the business side. So like with me just as a practitioner, I was just good at doing it. And then I would sort of sell myself into a situation where I was dropping balls left and right. And then I couldn't even deliver on the sort of the core thing that I was good at and that I enjoyed. And then having Natalie there to like sort of help organize and make things happen consistently in a way that I never could, and still can't.
Yeah. Right. Well, I think that this is an interesting perspective because this is not untypical for other businesses. Mm-hmm. There's somebody that's doing something that they really enjoy, something that they're really good at, kind of best of breed, right? Just like you said, best at what they do. And then the demand starts to increase. Mm-hmm. So now you have a business model around the demand and you have to choose, what am I going to do well? Am I going to do the practitioner part well, or am I going to figure out how to run the business well? In which case, I'm probably not going to be able to do the other thing. So getting through that process, learning that, and then having at least the wherewithal to make the shift and the adjustment and say, hey, I suck at this. let's figure out how to get better at it, right?
Yeah. It's taken us a long time to figure out who should be in which seats. Mm-hmm. Like, we both have multiple seats because it's just the two of us.
Yeah. Sure.
But the seats he used to occupy weren't always the right fit, and the seats I used to occupy weren't always right. So it's been, how long have we been partners? Since 2009? Like, business partners since 2009.
Longer than that, I think. I want to say...
That's when we made it official. Okay. When we got married, we made the business partnership official, too. Okay. But before that, I was answering emails, doing the schedule, and then it kind of like...
It just blossomed.
Yeah. Right? Mm-hmm.
Because you have not only a good product, but you have the ability to communicate a good product and connect with people. Mm-hmm. So I want to shift kind of on that, because that's a fundamental thing that I think a lot of people struggle with, you know, trying to figure out, okay, I'm really good at this, but I feel like I'm always overwhelmed. I feel like I'm constantly dropping the ball, like you said. I feel like, you know, I just can't get the traction that I'm looking for. Mm-hmm. And then finding whoever it is that can augment your strengths and figure out how you can make a more well-rounded structure. With that, you were talking earlier about some books that you read, and I don't want to put you on the spot with some of the titles, but you started doing some self-education, because did you have any formalized training in business management, or is it just kind of a...
Well, I come from a family of entrepreneurs.
Okay.
So that was just part of the regular conversation. Mm-hmm. How to run a business, what you do well, that sort of thing. Being organized. I mean, my mom, who didn't work in the family business or anything, I mean, she kind of all over the place, but she's also really organized and, like, wants to make sure things are done right and, mm-hmm. and well. Mm-hmm. And without knowing that, she taught me that, like,
sure.
without, like, doing that. What was the question?
Sorry. Well, some of the self-education.
The self-education. So that's how I grew up. And then I went to UNC Chapel Hill, so I was just study. Mm-hmm. Then I went to grad school. Then that had nothing to do with this.
Yeah. What were you studying?
Decorative art.
Okay.
Art history at Sotheby's.
Yep.
So... I was going into a whole nother direction, and then I always knew I wanted to help people, but I didn't know how. And then Joseph came along, mm-hmm. and I was able to do that and have my own business and help people. And then we were able to do that together. So the education part came when Joseph actually really pushed me to start reading different kinds of books than I was reading. And he gets the credit for that one, like, hey, let's read this book, this one you might be really interested in. And that's how it started. And then we were a part of a mastermind group, and we still are, a different one now. But that's really what helped us kind of learn how to focus on what we wanted to learn, and especially create that customer service and the customer experience, not just, oh, I'm coming in to work out. Like, this, it's your place to come work out.
And then staff training as well, because that's
mm-hmm. yeah,
extremely difficult.
Yeah. Okay, so you just unpacked a lot of stuff here. First of all, let me go back to what was your family business?
This is good, too, by the way.
So my mom's father had his own business of chrome plating. And then my dad's father had a Christmas ornament company called Roush Industries.
Okay.
And I always wanted to run that, and then they sold it when I was in high school, and it wasn't an option anymore. So I was just kind of lost going into college, didn't know what I wanted to study, but I knew I wanted my own business. I knew I also wanted to help people.
So it's really just the kind of that understanding of kind of bringing things together, right? Seeing with a desire to help people and then finding some tactical ways to implement mm-hmm. that. Can you copy this key? That's a question we get asked about 3,422 times a year. And how can you actually be sure that the person who asked that question is supposed to get a copy of that key? Well, we think you should always know who can copy your keys to your business and your home, because it could be your neighbor, an old employee, a contractor, or even worse, your mother-in-law. At LockDock Security, we believe in protected key systems, so you always know who has a copy of your key. To find out more, visit LockDock.net or stop by our Charlotte location. LockDock Security, helping you protect your people and your property. So you now have come together in kind of this partnership. All right, these are the things I'm good at. These are the things that you're good at. Kind of working through that. You said books and masterminds. So the collaborative nature of those are two massive things that people struggle with in the business realm. Very smart moves there. Masterminds group, is this like specifically for personal training, or is it a collective of all kinds of different industries?
Well, a little bit of both. So we've done some of both. Currently, the one that we're in is for independently owned personal training studios.
Okay.
But we've done both sort of general business and marketing business groups, and then also some other ones in the fitness industry. I would say one of the most challenging things there is weeding out the charlatans.
Sure.
Yeah.
Just to be straight, there are a lot of people who have absolutely no business whatsoever selling business success information.
Sure.
You know, they failed at whatever, and they supplement their income by telling other people what they thought they should have done differently.
Yeah.
And it's real hard to figure that out.
Sure. So finding people that have proven track record of success.
Mm-hmm. And that it's not just because they were lucky for that. You know, their track record is like a track record that's transferable, and they've actually been able to legitimately help other people versus they're just saying, well, it worked for me.
Gotcha. So following some foundational practices.
Yeah.
Very cool. And you've done that in both senses, on the general side as well as some specific to your industry.
Mm-hmm.
So you're surrounding yourself with like-minded people, challenging each other, encouraging each other, kind of some outside accountability to help grow that, and then some books. When it comes to the customer experience, because especially I would imagine in your industry, which I guess it's not mutually exclusive to that industry, but in your industry, the experience and the value add outside of just a place to come and work out is something that you can craft and really, I guess, create a unique experience. Because I'm gonna go on a limb here. You guys are the experts. You've probably done all the data on it. I'm gonna go out on a limb that says if you don't have a good experience, the longevity of a client to stay coming back is very short term, right? If they're just coming because they're expecting something in return, this magic mm-hmm. result,
right?
And so now you've got to connect with them for a long longevity, and so gaining additional value add for the community is something that you have to figure out.
Mm-hmm.
Is that accurate? Inaccurate?
It is accurate. Really on the experience side, probably by far and away you've mentioned one thing already was the sense of community.
Mm-hmm.
That's one of the most important factors. Mm-hmm. And then the second most important one being that people have fun when they come in, because working out is not inherently enjoyable for most people. So if you can help them to enjoy it and have a sense of community, then you're going to be able to better serve that person and better help that person, because you can then help them be consistent over a long period of time. And it's only consistency and longevity that are going to get that client anything of value out of
them. Yeah, get any type of a results.
Right.
The consistency. So finding ways to create programs. Okay, so the customer experience, the customer interaction, because this is one of the things that I've seen you guys do really, really well. And it comes down to text messages and emails and random packages that show up. Like, there's a lot of things that take a lot of thought, a lot of process, right? That mm-hmm. make it okay. All right, I got this. You know, and outside of the fun experience, but those little things are, I guess, the things that keep people engaged,
yep.
right? Where they can't. It's going to be harder to hide in a corner and just disappear.
Yep.
Right. We don't want you to disappear. Like, we want you to show up.
Yeah.
So one of the things we do is You can move your session, like you have an appointment, you can move that within the day, you can move it, you can early cancel it, and then reschedule whenever. And then also, we let you have two do-overs a month. So, like, life happens, we know that, and we want you to come in. Like, if you can come in and reschedule it, we want you to. And a lot of places don't allow that. They're like, charging you no matter what, let's go. Mm-hmm. Like, roll it over. And that's not what we're about. We want you to show up. We want you to get the experience. We want you to get your results. We want you to feel better. Mm-hmm. And we do everything we can to do that. So, yep. And that starts with knowing the person's name when they come in for that starting point. Like, hello, Chad. Like, awesome, you're here for your starting point. Let's take you over here. This is some of the women working out. This is our studio. This is where we're going to be today. Like, making sure the person knows what's happening, making sure they're comfortable from the very first time they come in. I think it really sets the stage for how they're going to experience the rest of their time there, whether it's, you know, just a trial and it doesn't work for some reason, or they're there since the day we opened, which has, you know, been almost 5 years now.
So what would you say some of the pain points are with kind of the traditional personal trainer fitness type structure that really put people off?
So for like one-on-one personal training, which is where I started, one of the big pain points is just simply having too much attention. And then you're just sort of like nitpicking and overbearing, or you're completely distracting to that person. So not doing one-on-one eliminates a major pain point that most people are not aware of.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
She already mentioned the lack of flexibility. The not doing one-on-one also allows for the flexibility that would be impossible if it was all just straight one-on-one.
Gotcha.
The one-on-one also, you don't have any community, so you don't have like friends, and it's just, you know, eventually you just ran out of stories, right, to tell people.
Yes, you've told me that same story four times.
Right. So having the other ladies there just helps add extra energy to it and add a greater sense of community, and they don't get bored of all of your own same old stories.
Gotcha.
So those are big pain points that simply not doing the one-on-one helps a lot with, not being judgmental, meeting people where they're at. So we have like an assessment process. And then also having systems and training and being skillful enough to be able to say, well, you know, you've got, you know, three replaced limbs or whatever you've got.
Sure.
This is what we can do today.
Yeah, yeah.
And then we also don't do hard selling. I think that's a big pain point. So from, like, I didn't even think about what he just said when I asked what the pain point, but a hard sell. Yep. Like, somebody walks into a regular gym, like, they're probably not leaving without signing something. Mm-hmm. And we also don't think everyone is the right client for us. So we're prepared to say we don't think we're the right fit. Whereas a lot of other trainers or gyms would be like, nope, we're here for everybody no matter what. Mm-hmm. And that's just not true. Like, your personalities don't fit, or some other reason you're looking for a entirely different kind of workout or something. Like, we don't have boxing.
Sure.
Right? And if you want a box, like, we're not going to help you. We can't, you know? But just not having hard sells and realizing we're not for everybody.
So being flexible, having the ability to, the onboarding process, it sounds like one of the things that you were describing, obviously, having a really well, and to, again, going back to, these are things that are transferable to any industry and any business. Mm-hmm. So having flexibility so that you're not so rigid. And we've learned that in our business as well, because a lot of the folks that play in our world are not flexible. Once you sign up, they own you, you know, for the long term, and you're not getting out without a battle. So having the flexibility, but then I think really the onboarding process is something that everybody can take notes on and say, okay, what does that mean? Personalization, knowing their name when they walk in the door, mm-hmm. making them feel comfortable, mm-hmm. reducing that inhibition, like that. This is a new place. I'm not quite sure. I'm obviously here to try to improve my health and improve my fitness, but it's a little awkward up front. So doing everything you can to make that a comfortable experience.
Yeah,
exactly. And like learning how to talk to people in a way that's like not going to put them off or make them feel like I'm on the spot, because we're talking about sensitive things. We're talking about your health, your weight, things people don't want to talk about. They don't want to admit they have a hard time. So being able to be approachable and be able to listen, that's a big thing. And that that works in other businesses too.
Yeah. Well, yeah. And that goes back, I guess, to the onboarding process. Having, and I would imagine you've gone through this and you've tweaked it and you've got it kind of down to a science where you're constantly improving on it. But it's something that these things have worked well and these things did not work. You know, yeah. When possible client walks in, this was a bad reaction. So maybe this is something that we've got to reassess. Where did you kind of, is it just been through trial and error? Did you pick up these ideas from some of these masterminds, some books? Like what is kind of some of the inspiration behind getting that? Or is it just, this is the way I would want to be treated?
All of the above.
Yeah, all the above.
Yeah. So when we started and we wanted to like really grow, we were in the mastermind. So we got a lot of kind of beginning points there.
Okay.
But the mastermind we were in for a while they taught us a lot, they also kind of were a unicorn. So they're like, oh, this will work anywhere.
And
well,
blind.
Not necessarily. Mm-hmm. You know, like actually, no, it doesn't work anywhere. But we still learned a lot from them, like the customer service experience. Mm-hmm. I will say that's probably what we got the most from them.
And staff training, mm-hmm. Like the just having the fundamentals of being able to bring somebody up to speed as a staff person. Mm-hmm. Which, I mean, I know it's hard for everybody, and I don't really know what it's like in other industries, but I feel like in our industry, it's like, it's so, yeah.
When you say staff training, are you talking about the customers, and it may be just both, but the customer side, because you're bringing in trained personal trainers, I guess, mm-hmm. or certified personal trainers.
Like, okay. If you have a certification or 5 or 10 or whatever, none of that actually really transfers to you being able to do your job competently, nor like just because you had a degree and you had whatever 5 different certifications, mm-hmm. it sucks. But if you came in, I couldn't just say, all right, you know, here you go, this is what you're going to do today.
Sure.
Essentially, all of that does is they have enough vocabulary that they understand like what you're saying, but everybody has to. We have to start everybody basically from scratch because, like, nobody's going to be able to do things the way that we want and need them to be done without months and months and, gosh, sometimes years.
So of training.
Yeah.
So they come in with, like, their personal trainer mm-hmm. training, right? Like, whatever they did, got it. They know enough.
Okay.
But then being able to connect to the client, coach them in a way that's our style, like our brand.
Understand mm-hmm. our systems, protocols,
how we
contingency
want
plans, yeah.
Yeah, like how that's, we want the client to be treated.
No, I mean, like if you're bright and pretty dedicated, 3 months.
Sure. So, okay, this is an interesting topic. I didn't really expect that we would go down this path, but it's very poignant because we've been chatting a lot about it in our organization. I was just mm-hmm. talking with a mastermind's equivalent group yesterday about it as well, documenting and defining processes, having having a defined system in place that you can bring people in and you can have some consistency through that. Is that what you're talking about?
Yes. Yeah. Having some consistency or a lot of consistency in art, yes.
Yeah.
A tremendous amount of consistency. Yeah.
So there's kind of a playbook to point back to say, this is how we want things done, or this is how things should be done to stay on point with the true 180 brand, and this is how we're going to do things, and then bringing them along that path.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
How we expect you to treat a client, if they have an injury, how to address that, how to make them feel comfortable, how to also have an effective workout, how to be safe, like, all of that.
Okay, so here's my question for you. Mm-hmm. How did you go about doing that, going through that process? How did you get started?
Well, so from the first mastermind group that we were in, mm-hmm. Just took what they told us to do and ran with it and spent, I don't know, probably 4 years mm-hmm. floundering.
Yeah, that's true.
And getting devastated repeatedly.
With the people we tried to hire.
Yeah.
The hires we did make.
Gotcha.
And
because the typical scenario is like, I know all this stuff in my head. Mm-hmm. I can just do it, and I can do it faster than telling somebody else to do it or do it faster than writing it down.
Right, right.
Yeah.
Or documenting it, right?
Yeah.
So I can see the 4 years of frustration. So how did you finally get getting the right people in place, or was it getting other people in place that you could have some freedom to do it?
It's a couple of different things. So okay. In Washington, D.C., where we had our larger studio, we were co-ed, mm-hmm. I would say probably we had 8 people on staff at mm-hmm. at the and six we had 6 coaches. So I would say of the 6 coaches, you know, half of them were absolutely amazing, mm-hmm. and you know, not surprisingly, those are the ones who were full-time, so I was able to invest a whole lot more in them. And I think it was getting rid of sort of the myth that all of the other masterminds in the fitness industry have been selling, which is that you can get this part-time person to mm-hmm. deliver the same caliber of service that that full-time person could. Mm-hmm. That is BS. It's it, you know, it's like a part-time, you know, executive chef. It's just
sure, yeah.
So it was getting rid of that. So just, I think a lot of the frustration was trying to accomplish something that is fundamentally impossible, mm-hmm. and then moving to a different business model where we no longer needed part-time people. Gotcha. So, in order, basically, we had a tension between what we could do and what we wanted to do. Okay. So the larger business model, with the amount of volume that we had to do, and we needed to have part-time people fill in during the peak hours, we couldn't not have those part-time people. And it's also impossible to have them be up to our standards just because it's not possible, because there's not enough time.
Got it.
So switching to the model that we have now, sort of the small women's only focus, all we do is small group personal training. We don't do any of the other stuff that we used to do at the larger studio. So we are able to focus in only on the thing that we want to master. So we can do just that one thing with just the person that we can put enough resources into in order to make that a reality.
Gotcha. So it's more of a focused outcome, a more focused market, and then with a lot of intensity versus trying to spread yourself so thin and be everything.
Right. Yes. We did that for a while.
We did that, and yeah, I mean, there's just, you know, you can do anything, but you can't do anything under any circumstance.
We understand the frustrations HOA board members and property managers face when deciding the best solution for their HOA and pool security. Should we use a keypad, hand out keys, or install a key card system? Do we even need cameras? These are some of the questions that are difficult to navigate, and we're here to help. At Lock Duck Security, we've spent over 20 years working with homeowners associations and property managers to find a system that best fits the pool and HOA needs. Camera systems for the front gate or front entrance, key card systems for the pool gates, or simply updating the gate so that it meets safety and code compliance. We like to take the guesswork out of the process to answer any questions and help find the right solution. Our mission is to help you protect your people and your property, and that includes pools. Contact our team today to schedule your free consultation for your community.
So you had the ability at a point to effectively craft out your business, and then at that point you had crafted out, and then you said, okay, hold on a second, now we're going to move.
Yeah.
So, and I'm guessing, you know, not like other some other industries that you could retain some clients when you move. Mm-hmm. In your industry, you lose all of them. Like,
that's
you
right.
Wipe 100%. Them all away, and you don't have any in your new market. So you now have a product, right? You've mm-hmm. got a business model, a product that you've worked on and been working on for years, and now you bring it to a new market, and you start from absolute scratch.
Yeah.
What was that experience like?
Difficult. I was really, really, yeah, we that was, I mean, that's been one of the most difficult things that we've ever done.
Yeah.
We got some lucky breaks along the way. We got some unlucky breaks along the way. And it's, well, and that's where it's been awesome that, like, Natalie has been able to take over the marketing side of it. Mm-hmm. I think in D.C. I had too big of an ego to, like, he was like, oh, I know everything, which I don't. So I guess I should let you answer, right?
Yeah, so how do you go about taking a product that's, mm-hmm. that you've worked on and refined and then bring it to a new market?
Okay. You somehow have to get the word out there,
yeah.
right? So we We really did a lot of Facebook marketing at that time.
Okay.
We did some Google at that time, and we also inherited the women's only list of the place. It happened to be like a women's only gym there, and we inherited their email list.
Okay.
So that was just a lucky break. So we at least had that.
Yeah.
And then we also snuck in, like, the last month of their lease, we was like, hey, they asked us, like, train these ladies for free, see what happened.
Sure.
So they just were ready to leave, and we had done a lot of market research and be like, okay, this is the place we want to be. And a weird, odd mutual friend connected us with the people who were trying to leave.
Gotcha.
So that was some of our luckiness that we got right there when we moved down here. But then really just getting the word out there and making sure you're consistent and you're always showing the same message, the same kind of thing that you want people to know.
Mm-hmm. So you know what your ideal client is, because you had been working through that. You've got a good onboarding process, so you've got the ability to bring people in. It's just then now getting that particular message to the right audience.
Yeah.
And so you went about doing that a lot of digital.
We did a lot of digital, and we also did a local magazine.
Okay.
That came out quarterly?
Quarterly, yeah.
Yeah, it was a quarterly magazine. It was one of the magazine that's like in the doctor's offices, in the grocery stores, everywhere.
And you got some good response. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, very good response.
We got some
surprised.
Really good. Yeah, that was.
I'm very surprised because we get a lot of people asking about print, and I'm like,
I don't know if I would do that now, like in 2021.
Yeah.
But when we moved down here, it worked. We didn't know any better. We're like, let's just try it because we don't know anyone here.
Sure.
In DC, Joseph had been doing. He'd been on several blogs a lot, did different newscasts or news segments.
Sure.
Yeah, I was on TV like at least twice a month. Yeah. I was on the radio 3-4 times a month.
Gotcha.
I had a couple of different columns in like local papers.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And all that went away.
Yeah, all that went away. We're like, nobody knows us here.
Sure.
So we did have a woman who was in PR who helped us do a few articles here and there, but I gotta say, it wasn't a great fit.
No.
Right?
Gotcha.
So while we did do that, it was really just a lot of digital marketing because.
And referrals.
A lot, we did several referral drives for people who were working out with us. Tell your friends. We put signage out even though we weren't supposed to. I mean, we just did it. We're like, it's worth it. Like, if somebody throws away the sign. All right. At least somebody saw it, right? So, and we're still doing that today.
Yeah. So, tell me a little bit more, because I think part of your marketing is the continuation of a relationship with a client, right?
Yes.
So, tell me a little. And I know you've got some stuff here.
I'll show you.
What are some things that you've found to be successful? Because what I would see is there's not just this magic sauce. It's not like I just put one post out on Instagram or Facebook and man, we've got 20 new clients. Mm-hmm. You've got a lot of tactical things that you do that take energy to maintain that.
Oh, really? No. But you don't ever really know what works, right? That's
sure.
one of the things you have to remember. You never really know what works. You never really know where someone saw you.
Mm-hmm.
So we want to make sure you're kind of everywhere a little bit. And then, so one of the things in our industry is turnover is just huge for like clients.
Yeah.
And we have had like over 97-98% retention.
Oh, wow.
Even during COVID.
Sure.
So this is like mind blowing. So what we do is just you're part of the community. We don't ever want you to leave our community.
Mm-hmm.
They know us, they know our kids, we know them, we learn about their lives. And we are like, I think I try to be thoughtful in what we share with them and send them. So one of the things, the latest thing is, show you, we sent out or are about to send out. So I hope this is a little teaser, but it's like, thanks for being a true 180 lifesaver.
Okay.
With lifesavers and everything. Just like, really, like, we appreciate you sticking with us through COVID.
Yeah.
Thanks for letting us, you know, help you and thank you for helping us,
sure.
right? Like, we're local business.
And then also the shiny envelopes and, like, the flamingo envelope.
Kind of stick
just
out.
So, yeah, as if it was just a plain manila, would anybody even notice?
Right. So we sent this one in the fall, winter, just with a note, and it was just a mask. Cause everybody needed masks then, a personalized handwritten note, hand wipes, because you just never know what you need. Just stay healthy. We sent them to our current clients. We sent them to old clients. We sent them to people who came in, but it wasn't the right time because they were scared because of COVID. And then the first one we sent last spring.
Oh, and then, by the way, we got that from one of our equipment suppliers. They sent us one, right? And we were like, this is awesome.
Yeah.
So we took it from them.
Kind of replicated it.
Yeah.
Very cool.
I mean, the guy who we buy our equipment from. Like, so totally random.
Thank you, Gerard.
Thank you. Yeah. So that was great.
Well, this is interesting to me because it is so loosely connected to what you do, right? It's not like here's a whatever. I don't even know what. You know, here's a healthy snack. You know, this is practical things that you can use. And when you put that disposable mask on, what am I thinking about? Ah, yeah, True 180 sent this to me. That's that was nice of them. And it's in the handwritten note. So how long did it take you to handwrite all those notes?
Well, I sent at least 175 of these. So, and I wrote every single one. I think you helped with some of them.
Not as I wish I would have helped more.
now that we've said this.
And I did the same thing with these. And I'm missing something here.
The value in handwritten notes, I think, is so powerful, right? The ability to, when you get that, because it's not a disposable item. You know, it's like, man, somebody actually took some time to write this. And I know it was Natalie because it was not Joseph.
You wouldn't be able to read it if it was me.
Absolutely the case. But you, the I guess just that connection there, when somebody gets a handwritten letter is completely different.
Yeah. It really is. We got a lot of really heartfelt notes over the holidays, and that's where the lifesaver idea came from, because people were telling us that we were their lifesaver. I mean, I'm like sitting there crying, reading these cards. I mean, it was amazing. It was so, it was a big deal to get the appreciation in a handwritten note. So I wanted to give that back. And we've always done handwritten notes since the very beginning. The first one we did at the very beginning of COVID, it fell out, but it was another handwritten card with a pack of wildflower seeds. Like, thank you for staying with us and helping us stay in bloom. Simple message, and people planted them. They sent us their pictures of their patio. I mean, it was a big deal, and it really meant a lot that people actually planted the little pack of wildflower seeds.
Yeah.
So that was pretty cool.
I recently read a book called Superfans, mixed reviews on it, but recently read a book called Superfans, and it talks a lot about kind of that, kind of creating a community, right? You're getting and giving feedback. So it's not just one-way communication. You're giving people an opportunity to participate in the community, not just receive. And I think that's an interesting perspective on it. That's life in application, you know? If you have people sending you pictures back of gifts that you've sent them or you know, activities that you've sent them, that is on a completely different level, because that means that they're totally engaged.
So we get postcards from people on vacation saying, thank you for helping me hike 10 miles today.
Oh, wow.
Or I was able to ski all week with no rest breaks. My knees felt great. Thank you. I mean, getting these postcards or thank you note after their trip, or they'll tag us on their Facebook page, like, look what I did. I mean, it is amazing.
Yeah.
So being able to get that, I mean, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm very dense on occasion.
Okay.
I think I just got the name of your business. 180 degree shift.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, okay. Sorry, I'm slow sometimes.
No, it's okay.
So people that couldn't do something before have now taken 180 degrees, and they can take a 10-mile hike or ride a bike.
Or walk up the stairs carrying their groceries.
Or play with their grandkids.
We did the True 180 name came in D.C. Joseph did
Isn't
that.
There a song with that lyric in it?
Okay.
I'm sure, but
I mean, sure.
There's a TikTok in the making. I'm
But like, we would hear from clients who were in their 60s, 70s, He was like, oh, now I can, what's it called when you kneel, when you're a Catholic and kneel in church?
Oh, yes, genuflect.
Yeah, now I can do that for the first time in 20 years. I mean, it's a big deal. So hearing things like that was just awesome. And then staying part of the community, like giving back, like we do Workout Warrior shirts. So if you are, if you do 8 or more visits in the month, you get to be on the Workout Warrior board.
8 is like the bare minimum for it to qualify as consistency.
Yeah. So twice a week we're looking at.
Sure.
So if you do it 3 months in a row, you get a shirt. And then this is one that we did last year. It's just super fun. Like Workout Warrior earned it.
Okay.
Right? Like awesome. And then if you do it 10 out of 12 months in a row, you get another shirt. So it's not like
a super fancy glittery version.
Yeah, so this is our last, 2021 shirt or 2020 shirt.
I have two daughters. I love glitter.
Glitter. and it's just fun. And it's just earned it. And it's just, it doesn't have our name. It has our name on it, but it's not like all about us. It's really about them and what they did. And staying consistent. And people are like, hey, you missed my name. Like, because I will write this up in the studio. And they're like, oh, wait, my name should be up there. And it's not there. And I'm like, I'm sorry. It's just like my eye, you know, missed it. So people care. And
They
want. And we do a different model like every year. So like there's the 20, and so now we just finished the 2021 design. So basically each year you got the 3 month and you got the 10 month.
There you go.
So you got the fancy and then the super fancy.
There you go. Nothing less than.
No, it's just fun. It's fun. And we want to keep it fun.
Well, you're finding ways to keep people engaged. And when they are engaged and when they accomplish something, then you're giving them that reward. It's, they're not doing it for the reward, but it's recognizing it.
Right.
Right. Very cool. Well, I appreciate you guys sharing some of this stuff, this insights. I think it's really cool, and I'm glad that I finally figured out the name, the meaning of the name. So it's very
high five.
Okay, so get a high five.
Oh yeah. So this is something that we just started doing. So we do like different versions of a high five postcard. This is the newest one. It's a vaccinated high five. Hopefully without any bleeding problems.
That's rough.
But yeah, I think Chad gets a high five for figuring it out.
Yes. So me and Greg, anytime somebody just does any, I mean, we don't have like a specific, like, oh, is it, it's just, look, you know, someone does something awesome, even if it's just like they're getting their butt kicked between like work and their personal life, and they showed up on a day when they didn't feel like it. That's something to just
make sure
you acknowledge them extra. Then that's probably more important to acknowledge somebody for than, you know, being able to do their first pull-up. Although that's also awesome. You know, it's a different kind of difficult than that person who's struggling needs that emotional support more.
So it really comes down to just listening and being aware, and then responding accordingly. Like it sounds like you've kind of set this plate that says, just listen, be aware, and here's a plethora of things that we can do to acknowledge it. You know, we've got some systematic approaches to it. We want to make people feel comfortable and included, a part of a community, and encourage them when they hit certain milestones.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really part of the entire process. So, well, very cool. Like I said, I appreciate you guys coming and sharing some stuff. Congratulations on the growth that you guys have had, and congratulations on making it through the past year, because I know that has massively impacted your industries. Well, Natalie, Joseph, thank you very much for joining us today. As always, if this is your first time watching or listening, we definitely invite you to subscribe. We have a brand new episode every Tuesday morning at 9 a.m. We don't want you to miss out on a single thing. We've got episodes just like this, over 100 of them for you. We've been doing this for a couple of years and releasing a brand new episode every Tuesday morning at 9 a.m. So don't miss out on it. Make sure you subscribe. Go to lockdoc.net/podcast. All the links are there for your favorite podcast platforms. You can find the video version on YouTube and Facebook. So make sure you do that as well. And we'll see you next time.